My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis. During his time in the service, he also worked as an assistant for one of the top leaders on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell Commission in the early 1990s in the Clinton administration. He joined us throughout the debate over whether gays should serve in the military openly, and now the Justice Department has announced that it will treat, and now the Justice Department has determined that sexual discrimination cases can now be applied to transgenders. And activist groups are already trying to apply that to the U.S. military. And Colonel, thanks very much for your time today.
Well, thanks for having me, Greg.
How significant is this?
Well, only a handful of people have been involved in this particular type of discharge, though they're calling for some sort of action. Mr. Hagel, who is Secretary of Defense, was asked whether or not they were going to do the background research on that, and he was noncommittal, so I really don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
What is the background research on this? Obviously, some people see this as the next logical step, those who are in favor of opening up the military service to open homosexuals. Others say this is essentially, once again, covering for people who may have serious issues in beyond their sexual preference. So what's the most appropriate way to look at this?
According to the advocates, there are about 15,000 people in the armed forces that fit this description. I think that's probably hard to prove. But we need to understand what we're talking about here, Greg. When we're talking transgender, we're talking about people that are called transsexuals. In other words, they've had sex change surgery. Others are transvestite. They're cross-dressers. Others are drag queens and drag kings, and they're people that just cross-dress for the entertainment purpose. So what we're suggesting here is that people by this description would be allowed in the military to, live accordingly. In other words, sex-specific facilities would be open to them. If they say if they're really a man in terms of physiology, but a woman inside, according to them, then they would be able to go into women-only facilities, locker rooms, restrooms, showers. The assignment of barracks would be in accordance with that. And then, of course, they would insist upon the surgery at taxpayer expense to change their sex. Now, it's interesting. There was a Dr. Paul McHugh, professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University, a very reputable establishment. He says that he's dealt with a lot of this particular type of case. And it's interesting that when many of these people have gone through the surgery, they still have sexual interest in women, but from a lesbian perspective. So, these are confused people, unfortunately. And the idea that we want to saddle the U.S. military with this particular group of people, we already have enough issues with sex-based issues. Why do we want to proceed in that direction?
Number of different ways to follow up on this. First of all, Colonel, it's obviously only been a couple of years since, I guess 4 years, since the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy was removed by Congress. What evidence or what research do we have over those few years to determine what kind of impact that decision's having on the military before we go down this road?
Well, we've had a dramatic, a spectacular increase in same-sex assaults. We've heard a lot about male-on-female assaults in the military, and depending upon the recent survey, whether or not you believe those particular numbers and they're exaggerated, I would argue. But what is underreported is the fact that the most dramatic increase has been in same-sex, male-on-male assault, sexual assault. So, of course, the advocates in the Obama administration and elsewhere don't want to talk about those, but those numbers are very credible.
Colonel, the other thing that a lot of folks have pointed to, you among them, over the past few years, has been the change in policy towards religious freedom, particularly Christians, in the wake of that decision as well. How severe has that shift been, and is it directly attributable to the change in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy?
Well, I think they're parallel. Certainly we've seen an assault in Christianity. As we've seen a change in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or the embracement of homosexuality in the Army or in the military. And so as a direct result, I think the the bashing of Christians who have a strongly held moral belief about what is proper and moral conduct. And when it comes to homosexuality, if a chaplain speaks out against homosexuality, he often puts his own career in jeopardy in the military. And that's what's beginning to be seen. And people that are speaking, of course, about Christianity in general today openly and saying the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ, they put themselves in jeopardy. So we've seen these kind of parallel as we go forward. And the same issue with transgender. That community, which is part of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community, they want us to kind of dismiss all our strongly held religious views about sexual issues and gender issues and accept anything as okay.
Colonel, how is this going to play out? Now that the Justice Department has made this decision, will it lead to, you know, congressional committees, a special panel by the Pentagon, or is this administration simply likely to say, well, the Justice Department has said this, this is the policy going forward?
Well, given what the Justice Department's done, you know, on immigration, on a host of other issues, it may well go to the Defense Department, send it a legal opinion saying, you're in violation, change your regulation, and start to stop dismissing transgenders and accept them. Without any consideration. Now, even the advocates acknowledge that the military is a different case, and they want to study that. Now, I don't think that Chuck Hagel, the outgoing Secretary of Defense, is about to launch in, you know, a committee to look at this. They may have somebody provide a study on it, but I don't know that the Obama administration needs to take on another fight, but you know, it may be. The conservatives won't want to fight on this particular issue. I would hope that they do, and they recognize what's involved, just like the homosexual issue and the women in combat issue and all these social issues are of great significance when you're talking about the national security of our country. And we're toying with this in a very critical way, which could be very dangerous.
Now, when it came to lifting the ban on gays in the military, that required a congressional statute. From your reading of what the law currently is, will that be required again, or can this just be tacked onto it?
No, I think you can amend that particular statute. The reason we had to have a statute when this was changed is because in 1993, you had 10 U.S.C. 654, which was passed in the National Defense Authorization Act, prohibiting the service by open homosexuals. And it did talk about transgenders in the amendment. So you would have to amend that, the vacating of that old law to say that transgenders could now be allowed to serve. And, you know, that's certainly a new, more conservative Congress, I think, is unlikely at this point to do that.
Colonel, we'll leave it there. Thank you for your time today, and Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Well, thank you, Greg, and Merry Christmas.
Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis, U.S. Army retired. He worked as a top assistant to the leader of the panel who investigated the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy back in the early 90s in the Clinton administration. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.